Anytime you want to start.
I think we are ready. We've got a quorum and then some, which is great.
Okay. Like to call the executive committee meeting Wednesday, September 4th, call to order. Is there any public comment? If not, moving on to approval of minutes for May 8th, 2024.
Move approval, Madam Chair. John Coleman.
The only correction I have, or I don't even know if it's a correction or not, on attendance, I'm not on it, but I made the motion at the end to adjourn, so not that it matters. Do we have a second?
Second, Peter Souza.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Moving on to number four, staff reports. Matt?
And thank you so much, Lori. And we will correct the minutes as you flagged a moment or so ago. So I just have a couple of things because we've got a full agenda here today. First of all, I'm very pleased to welcome Jonathan Altschul to today's meeting. Jonathan, I hope I'm pronouncing your last name correctly, but Jonathan is the new town manager for the town of Newington. Jonathan, it's great to welcome you here today and to the region, and really wish you a very successful tenure with the town. If you'd like to say a brief hello, that would be great.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. Yeah, I'm excited to have started about a month ago with Newington. I actually was born in New Haven, lived in Guilford until I was 10, moved back to New Haven. I haven't lived in Connecticut since I went off to college, but I'm really excited to be back. Still have a lot of family in the region. It's been a long time coming. Most recently, I was a township manager in the western suburbs of Philadelphia. So I'm kind of learning the vernacular here in Connecticut. But it's been a pretty seamless transition, and I've had a very supportive a crew here in Newington. I look forward to meeting all of you one of these days in person.
Excellent. Thanks again, Jonathan, and welcome. So next, wanted to turn to some upcoming meetings and events. You know, we had our little CROG summer vacation, if you will, where the policy board hasn't met for a couple of months. Hope you all had a productive summer, got those capital projects done. I hope you all have also had a chance to take at least a little time off. So now we're getting underway again, and we've got a number of meetings and events planned over the next couple months here, and wanted to flag these for you. So first of all, on September 17th, we're going to be providing a very important public information session, a public update, if you will, for residents who are still dealing with crumbling foundations. And this is an issue that's very important to the eastern portion of our region. And want to thank the town of Ellington, Lori Spielman, today's chair, as well as Matt Reed, town administrator, for helping us arrange for this meeting at Ellington High School. That session really will focus on the remediation process. We're going to highlight CIFSIC, which is the indemnity insurance company that the state has established to assist homeowners dealing with that crisis. So that will be the main component of the meeting. So we're looking forward to that on September 17th. And those of you where you've got a number of residents who are dealing with that issue, if you can help us get the word out about the September 17th event, we would greatly appreciate it. You know, Laura's been working hard to promote it on social media and in other means. So if you could help us share that, that would be great. Our policy.
Matt, this is Steve Stefano,
yes,
real
Steve.
Quick.
Yep.
Can you just have Laura resend that to the, she's probably done this before, but just I'll make sure that we in Manchester promote that through our various, social channels, and maybe just be a good, gentle reminder for everyone else.
Yep. Good. Now we'll do that, Steve. Thank
you
for the suggestion. Thank you. And then the policy board will meet again on September 18th. So we're meeting a week early, And we're going to have a number of meetings that week. That's because the ICMA, the City and County Managers Conference, is the following week. So, you know, for this coming September, we've moved things up a little bit. We know it's going to be a very busy week here at CROG, but our town and city managers are such an important component of our membership. We want to make sure that we're able to accommodate that. Also on September 18th, we're going to be holding a workshop and a demonstration related to micromobility. You may have seen the news. We've got a new vendor here in our region, VO. They're a Santa Monica-based company, and they just began operations, had a pretty successful press conference, I think, last Friday at Hartford City Hall. So we're looking to promote this across the region and actually across the state. So if you've been considering micromobility options for your community, and there are a whole number of new ways in which you can manage it, a number of new safety improvements, which I know is a concern for many municipalities, please come to this workshop and demonstration so you can learn more about this technology and hopefully be encouraged to try a pilot in your community. The next item I want to touch on, this is another workshop.
Could I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Hadn't figured out how to raise my hand yet. Could you define micromobility, please?
So what we're leading off with is a scooter type product. So it's a scooter, and what we're going to consider in the future are adding things like e-bikes, but ideally utilizing the same vendor. Pauline Yoder, our chief operating officer, has played a lead role in terms of this procurement. Pauline, do you want to add anything on that?
No, I think micromobility means something that is basically, you know, single person, double people at the most in terms of it's a small transportation option, usually used for the last mile, talked about as being used for the last mile between, you know, transit and things like that. As a heavy user of the previous scooter share system, I'm a huge advocate. And it's really helpful in providing the that extra transportation, enabling someone who would normally walk to be able to increase their range of where they could go.
Thank you, Pauline.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. All right, next item. So this is another workshop on October 8th, the morning of October 8th. We're going to have a shared services workshop. And Peter Souza, who's in attendance today, the chair of our Municipal Services Committee, he's going to serve as our master of ceremonies, if you will, our moderator. And I'll assist him with that assignment. But we're really looking forward to this. We're going to start off with an update from OPM, and OPM will discuss recent changes in state legislation that is designed to eliminate some of the barriers to shared services. If you're not familiar with the term shared services, what we're talking about here is towns sharing services with their own school districts or with another town, potentially with a council of governments, et cetera. So there are a handful of CROG municipalities who do this well, and we're going to have a panel discussion that will feature them. We've invited the town of Mansfield, the town of Plainville. They're going to talk, both of those communities will talk about how they share services with their own school districts, and they've been doing it very well for several years now. We're also going to feature the town of Bolton. And Bolton's going to talk about its four-town building code inspection program. And then we're also going to talk about a newer initiative here at CROG, where we received a state grant to share trail maintenance equipment. So, you know, if you've got an interest in sharing services to save taxpayer dollars or to improve services, and this can be for large communities as well as smaller communities, really would encourage you to attend this session on October 8th, and Laura's starting to promote that as well. And then last but not least, our Capital Region Purchasing Council, CRPC, which now serves 135 of the state's 169 municipalities, will hold its annual meeting on the morning of October 10th. And typically the folks who attend that meeting are your various purchasing agents. But others are welcome too. You know, if you're a town manager and you've got an interest, we'd love to have you. And we're gonna hold that session here at CROG. So I just wanted to flag those meetings and events as today's staff report. Lori, next, I think we've got, I'm happy to take any additional questions on that. But then I think we should make a decision in terms of where we go next. This meeting was designed primarily to discuss my performance review and executive session, as well as suggested goals for the coming year. More recently, had a request to talk about the rate increase we've seen in our electric rates here in the state, understand how important that is. So we could take that item up next. We could take that next, but if we do so, I would put a limit on the time we allocate for that discussion so that we do have time for the executive session. So happy to take any questions on staff reports, Lori. And then I think I would go to the electric rate item next, number 5C. But again, just give that maybe 15, 20 minutes tops in terms of, so we have time for the remainder of the agenda.
Okay, we'll move on to that then. Do you want to take off after that?
Yep, happy to do that, Lori. So, you know, we were asked by the town of Coventry, and I know that Lisa Thomas is here in attendance today. I'm going to turn to her in a moment. The query was, you know, would we be willing to consider taking some action at a regional level? You know, because there's strength in numbers, if you will. And that's one of the reasons why our councils of governments exist, right? So that we can address critical issues on a regional basis. Had a similar request from the town of Stafford. And we did attach, if you had a chance to look at it today, two sample letters, one from the town of Cromwell outside of our region, and secondly from the town of Stafford, which is a CROG member municipality, both of which were requesting or are requesting a special session of the General Assembly to address this issue. So that's one potential course of action. But really wanted to begin the discussion today with the thinking that we would bring this to the full policy board on September 18th, where we could have a more comprehensive discussion and determine whether or not CROG wanted to take any action on this issue. We also, importantly, very pleased that we have Chris Smith and John Harkins in attendance today, and they are both members of our government affairs firm, Rome Smith Kowalski. They can help facilitate today's discussion. So I want to turn now to Lisa Thomas, council chair in the town of Coventry, who initially reached out to me with this request. Lisa.
Thanks, Matt. And thank you for agreeing to put this on today's agenda. You know, since I first reached out to Matt, the landscape has changed again. It's pretty clear there won't be a special session, and I think for very good reasons that have been discussed both by legislators, by state administration, and also in news analysis. The reason I brought it forward initially is because I'm sure, like many of you, I've had a lot of constituents reach out to me asking, what can we do? What can you do? There's not a lot we can do at the local level other than find ways to advocate. At our town council meeting last night, our council agreed that it does make sense to try to move forward with our larger organizations like CROG and COST. And what I really wanted to emphasize both to my council and here is that I think it's really important not to politicize this issue, which there's a lot of going on right now. High electric rates in the state have been a challenge for many years. The shock of the current bills for some people has really highlighted that. It's not going to be an ongoing increase they see in their bills, but that doesn't soften what just arrived in their mailbox. And so I actually had reached out to Matt yesterday to say, you know, maybe really what we need to do is punt this over to the legislative committee to look at possibilities for what could be done during the next session to address this or address root causes of the issue. I know Senator Turco has been throwing out some ideas for some changes in how rates are set and all, but that might be the next place to go. I just don't think boilerplate letters from individual towns are going to be effective. That's what I wanted to share.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you. So, you know, through you, Lori, I'd ask others if they want to weigh in, if they've got an opinion here. And then I could add a little additional detail along with assistance from Chris and John.
Does anybody feel that it's worth if we all wrote letters? How does everybody feel? How does everybody feel about writing letters?
So, Lori, Peter Souza, I'll provide a perspective. I like the idea of having this more from a policy perspective and getting working through the legislative committee and seeing if there's anything that we can come up with in unison with cost and CCM from a policy perspective. I think from at least what my take on it is that there's not going to be a special session. And so we should focus on the regular session that's upcoming and how we might be able to influence that in some form or fashion.
Thank Lori, you. Lori and Talland, we're going to discuss it at our next council meeting. There's been some talk on social media asking for it. I'm not overly in favor of writing letters. We all get them on around referendum time. What do they really do other than pacify constituents at best? It doesn't really have a lot of function external to the town. Not to mention Eversource is our number one taxpayer in town. It has nothing to do with it, though. Thanks.
Thanks, Brian. Anybody else?
I would concur with Peter that we should focus on the policy side and work through the legislative committee for the general session. I think writing a bunch of letters, either from the organization or individually, basically won't accomplish anything at this point.
Okay, great. Tony? I think your mic is off.
I'm not sure I'm a formal member of the committee, so tell me if I'm speaking out of turn.
You're a member of the policy board. You can certainly plan.
Okay. There have been several articles in the current ostensibly explaining the way the rates are changed, each one different from the other and each one further confusing the question. The last one was from a bunch of legislators who set out to explain it, and I had thought I understood something, and then when I finished reading it, I realized I understood nothing at all, especially not that article. So I'm really hesitant. We've been asked to do the same thing. In our town, it's become somewhat partisan, but without having any real knowledge about what to say about these things, I'm really hesitant to put the town signature on a letter.
Thank you, Tony. Matt, seems like the majority people that we heard are not in favor of writing letters.
Yeah, thank you, Lori. You know, I think one advantage to taking this up at CROG's legislative committee, if the legislature is going to consider this in regular session, you know, regular session is better suited to a more thorough policy discussion. I had that conversation earlier with Chris and John. You know, special sessions are designed more for emergency matters. So if we're looking for the legislature to make more comprehensive changes to state policy, regular session would be more appropriate. So that's just one perspective. I would now like to offer Chris and John just a couple minutes, Lori, to add their perspective. And I want to thank them for, on relatively short order, taking a look at this and the various issues. So, Chris, if you wanted to lead off, and then if John wanted to add anything as well.
Sure. I think, you know, this conversation kind of started going in the direction that I was thinking that we probably should be wise to consider. And I think, Lisa, your comments, I think, are spot on, that it's hard to divorce this issue right now from politics. I think the structure of all of this dialogue would be a lot different if it were an odd numbered year rather than an even numbered year. But the reality is this is a big issue that legislators are hearing from as they're, you know, hitting their stride in campaign season. And you all are probably hearing it, you know, as well as elected officials. I think that from CROG's perspective, if the question is around how CROG can best engage or shape this debate, I think we first need to answer the question of, are we advising on a specific or advocating for a specific methodology to address the problem? Because I think universally, there's, you know, on both sides of the political aisle, and the stakeholders near universally are interested in reducing rates. I think that's going to be the topic of discussion, you know, rate relief, whether we engage in it or not. I think the question that we have to answer is the method for rate relief. If we have a solution that's either what we want as a proactive solution, or if we want to push a particular solution to solving the rate crisis because another solution might negatively impact us as an organization, then I think we have better standing to engage in that debate. But I do think, you know, calling for a special session now, when it's very unlikely that they're going to do it in the next couple of months, doesn't really put CROG in a position to be a solutions broker on it in the longer term. Because I don't think anything is going to happen on that, regardless of what we articulate. I think what we do, if we were to do something like that now and calling for a special session, is we kind of pick sides on the political aisle, which, unless we have a really compelling reason to do so, I think doesn't really serve us well as an organization. That all being said, I do think there is a space for communicating about the impact that these rates have had on our members' budgets, all of your budgets, and what that could possibly mean for impact to municipal operations, right? However, if we do that, we also need to be careful that there's probably going to be a substantial dip starting this month in utilization. And I think some of the mirage of how big the rate increases are might evaporate a little bit. So that's just also something to consider as well. By the time we organize that, you know, bills, even though these increases are built in, are likely to plummet considerably. So that does kind of, that juxtaposition of those realities, I think, is also important to consider too. I think all of that lends itself to, you know, we may be better served to have the legislative committee look at it, as I think most of you articulated earlier, and see if there are things that make sense for CROG to weigh in on as we go into a regular session.
Thank you, Chris. You know, if John wants to add anything briefly to Chris's comments.
I think Chris said all the high points for the sake of time.
Thanks, John.
Bet.
Jason had his hand up before Bowser.
Yeah, thanks, Lori. I was going to echo kind of what Chris had said. I think, just as a matter of practice, that CROG, or really any advocacy organization, shouldn't be coming at the General Assembly or the executive branch and saying, hey, there's a problem, fix it. I think that we should be working towards, hey, there's a problem, here's how we think you can fix it. Many of the same folks on this call are involved with CCM and what the conversations are in terms of solid waste management. And before CCM is really pushing, well, CCM is working on developing a solution to give to the legislature instead of saying that the legislature solved the problem. I think that's what we ought to be doing here too, including, you know, I'll be honest, in my own circumstance, I don't know what we can ask the state to do, because of the regulatory climate. You know, who determines the apportionment on the bills? Is that done by PURA? Is that done by Eversource? Is that done by the legislature? I don't actually know that. You know, I'm 100% sure somebody on this call does, but I don't. So I'm not even sure what our ask would be.
You know,
I keep coming back to the rent's too damn high. That political candidate in New York from like 8 or 10 years ago. The rates suck, but we've had Eversource on this call. We understand what their perspective is. I don't wholly agree with their perspective, but they came and articulated what their points were. And I think we need to know what the solution is before we ask the legislature to adopt it. I saw Lisa pop her hand back up, and I'm sorry, I'm going to jump off the call now because I have a 12:30 meeting. It's not because I'm scared of Lisa, although I do absolutely respect her acumen here. And I don't like being adverse to her, but I'm going to wish you all a happy day.
Thank you, Jason.
Jason, I like you too.
I'm totally not scared, but a little scared.
Looks like Lisa has another point, Lori.
Yeah. I didn't, go ahead, Lisa.
Didn't know I was so scary. And again, the reason I had just initially reached out to Matt was just to figure out if there was any role that CROG could play. I very much like a couple of things that Chris Smith said when he was speaking about looking at the impact of high electric rates. I mean, even once this spike goes away, we're still a state with very high electric rates. You know, to take a look at the impact on the member towns within CROG, the impact on us as governments, on our budgets, as well as on our constituents. You know, even if we're not proposing legislation or supporting specific legislation, even sharing impact might be a step in the right direction, you know, to maybe finally get at some of the root causes and some root solutions. I agree 100% that sending letters from individual towns is not helpful. I think there's power in numbers, and that's why we have this organization.
You know, I would also add that I failed to mention when I was covering the first part of my comments, a lot of these solutions, none that I can think of, are divorced from some of the politics. I think there's kind of battle lines drawn on a lot of things here. Some of the things that are being kicked around too is even the structure of PURA. The governor's had authority for many years now to add PURA commissioners. Doesn't mean that we can't weigh in on that, but I think, you know, how much of a benefit is that going to be when it actually comes down to the policy, where we want to be picking sides on that debate? We're going to be either pitting ourselves against the governor or against members of the legislature. And so I think we have to evaluate, is that a particular solution that's going to bear fruit? And is that worth, you know, us picking a side there on that if we're not really sure what the outcome is? That's, you know, that's one issue. The other issue is taking the public benefit portion of the charges out of the bills and putting that in the general fund. You're now entering into a very specific budgetary fight that the legislature is going to be considering, and you're picking sides on that one. Doesn't mean that we don't want to pick sides. I'm just saying that the legislative committee is going to have a fair amount of work to do in identifying the pros and cons of the different elements around what a potential solution here is. And CROG as an organization needs to be thoughtful about where we want to put our political capital in that.
If I can real quick, I think that's a really good point from Chris. And first, I want to thank Lisa for bringing this up, because I think we're all hearing from our constituents that are frustrated. But to Chris's point, you can't really separate how we got here from high level policy discussions that I think kind of go beyond what CROG's interest would be, you know, because at the end of the day, most of the increase is due to the Dominion agreement for securing nuclear power, which aligns with climate goals. And I just don't know if CROG as an organization benefits from taking a stance on that one way or another. The only one thing I did want to say is maybe the only standpoint where maybe us taking a position would make sense is the vote of Pura, which was 2-1, to have a more limited amortization period, which is why we have such a high spike right now. That's more of an administrative decision where maybe we could recommend that if we do have a public benefit charge like that in the future, it be eased out over a longer period. So it's not quite of a hit to both of our municipal budgets and residents. But to me, that I agree, it's something our legislative committee should probably look at in more detail if we even want to comment it on it as an organization.
Ready? Anybody else have a quick?
I do.
If this is Matt, I just wanted to see if we could begin to wrap up our discussion of this agenda item. You know what I'm hearing. I'm hearing support for taking this to the legislative committee, and I'd be happy to make a report to that effect at the September 18th policy board meeting.
Okay. Very good. Okay, should we move on, Matt?
Yes, if we could. So if we could go to 5A, and then we would need a motion to go into executive session for the stated purpose. And the motion should also reflect that I'll be invited to the executive session. And then everyone else who's not a... all the policy board members and I and Tony Moran will be invited to a special Zoom room.
Okay, do I have a motion to move into executive session?
Madam Chair, hello. John Coleman, I'll move we go into executive session for the record discussing concerning the appointment, employment, performance evaluation, health, or dismissal of a public officer or employee, provided such an individual may require that discussion be held at an open meeting pursuant to Connecticut General Statute Section 1-206A, Executive Director's Evaluation and Goals, to include members of this committee, members of the policy board, the chairperson of the personnel committee, and the executive director.
Thank you, John. Do I have a second?
Second, Nichette Blackburg, Windsor.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're gonna move into executive session.
So I am going to be opening up the breakout room. All the policy board members, executive committee, you're going to be invited to that room. Please join it. And the rest of us will stay in this main room. All right. The recording is still going on, just so for the record, for the staff who's remaining in the room. I'm going to mute myself and wait for them to return.
We have ended the executive session and like to report to the full committee that the committee has, the executive session has endorsed the evaluation that you have in front of you from the Finance and Personnel Committee. There is also a recommendation that we will take back to the committee regarding compensation, and we will present a recommendation from the committee to you at our next meet, after we meet one more time, after our committee meets one more time. Everybody knows the rest of what we did. So there's the only other thing is the 3-year cycle of evaluations, which we will talk about when it's time to do that again. Does anybody have any questions for me?
I'd just like to thank you, Tony, and your committee for spearheading this evaluation process.
Glad to do it. Glad to do it.
Thank you, Tony. Shall we move on if nobody else has any questions? Move on to number 6, correspondence handouts. Matt, do you have anything?
We do not today, Lori.
Okay. Next thing is moving on to number 7, adjournment. Could I have a motion, please?
I'll move, Madam Chair.
Is there a second?
Second, Mark and Simsbury.
Thank you so much, Mark. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you so much for joining us, and have a great day, everybody.
Bye. Thank you all so much. Bye. Really appreciate it.